it is truly amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Lord, and today we just want to say thank you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you that he was obedient unto death, that he would bring many to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today I want to be looking at our third series of the Passion series that we've been doing, Perfect Love, but really looking at the joy set before him. He endured the cross. Recently, my son and I were watching the movie Overcomer. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but it's a good movie if you haven't seen it. Christian movie. And it tells a story of a young girl who wants to run. She wants to be a runner and she wants to win. And she's looking for a coach, and the coach that happens to coach her is a basketball coach, but he doesn't have a basketball team, and so he gets roped into coaching the running team. And it's just this one girl that turns up to be a runner. And so he begins the journey of teaching her how to run. And throughout the story, she ends up meeting her father, who she thought was dead, and discovers that he's very sick in a hospital bed, not much time to live. And she discovers that he, too, was a runner. And as they begin to speak, he begins to encourage her and give her tips on how to run. And she comes up to her final race, and they have no idea how she's going to go. And the coach hands her this earpiece and this recording, and she puts it on. And as she begins to run, it's her father's voice. And he knew the race precisely, and he begins to coach her through each part of the race. And she gets to a point where most runners would give up. Most runners pull back at this point in the race. But she begins to hear her father's, "But not you. You can do this," and begins to coach her through that she would endure and run the perfect race. And I was thinking about this story, and in running terms, Jesus, he ran the perfect race for us with the encouragement of his father to never give up, but to keep going, to keep doing the father's will. And his race took him to his eventual death on the cross. Hebrews 12, let's open there, verses 1 to 2. It's also up on the screens. It says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." And it continues on in verse 2 to say, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." For the joy set before him, he endured. Jesus' motivation, his ability to endure, even to the point of death, was the joy set before him. And so today I want to focus on, what was that motivating joy that was set before him? And how does it inspire us to follow Jesus and to also endure and run our race? It's helpful to first understand that this joy is a figure of speech. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem didn't lead to an immediate feeling of joy. He entered to experience the cross, and I don't believe the cross would have been the reason to rejoice, this agonizing death. In fact, the scripture says that he recoiled from the dread of it, as we've earlier read. The Bible tells us that as he and his disciples made their way towards Jerusalem, there was a sense of foreboding. The disciples likely felt confused and were likely very fearful. And you can't help but think they picked up on the tensions of Jesus, of the fear that perhaps he had. And even in the Garden of Gethsemane, we read and we see that sorrowful and deeply distressed part of him that prays, Oh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. The cross itself certainly wasn't what he rejoiced in. The cross, as we know, was the most shameful and horrible death anyone could have imagined. And in fact, it was made even more horrible for him for the fact that his Father removed his presence from him in that dark hour when sin was laid upon him. And he suffered the full punishment of our sin in our place. But it was what happened afterwards, what he knew would happen afterwards, that was the cause for his joy. And he rejoiced in what the cross would accomplish. And so today I want to look at three things of what was the joy set before him as he endured the cross, so that it also becomes our motivation to be faithful to Jesus and to cause great joy. I believe the first thing was the fulfillment of the Father's will. It was the completion in doing the Father's will. John 5:30 says that Jesus said, "I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." And in going to the cross, Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 4, "I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." Perfect love. Jesus had perfect love, and that's the theme of the Passion series for this day. But when we say perfect love, we often think of a love without fault. And yes, Jesus had a love without fault, but that is one meaning. But the word perfect also means completion. And he completed the Father's will. And that, I believe, brought him much joy. So I guess I want to bring it back to us. What about us? What about me? Is our joy to do the Father's will? No matter the cost. I heard someone say no. And that's exactly how we feel sometimes. We want to do the bits that we like, that we agree with, that fit in with our plan. But what about the parts that don't quite fit in with our plan? What about the hard things? What about the person that we need to forgive? As we reflect upon the cross and Jesus today, may we be like people like Jesus that prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done," so that he would be glorified in and through our lives. Another thing that I believe was cause of great joy for Jesus was the fact that he knew there would be restoration to glory. Just before he went to the cross, Jesus prays this beautiful prayer in John 17, and we're kind of pulling apart a little bit of it as we go through today. But in verses 1 to 5 of John 17, this is what Jesus prays. He says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." See, Jesus, as the eternal Son of God, as the second person of the triune Godhead, he possessed infinite glory. He was highly esteemed and exalted, and he had that wonderful, intimate relationship with the Godhead. He was part of that. But when he came to earth, in order to enter the world and to take, he took on that human state. And so he never stopped being God, but he put aside his glory. He took it off and put it aside. He temporarily set it aside. And he showed unspeakable love to us in doing that. And it says that he was made a little lower than the angels. He humbled himself, as we looked at last week, and he became like a servant. And a servant in those days, they had no rights. And he willingly gave up all rights for us. But he looked ahead, I believe, on that cross, of the prospect of being restored back to glory, of being restored back to the Father, of the right hand of the throne of God. And that was cause for great joy for him. This week I had the privilege of going hot air ballooning, and I got to go in this beautiful, massive hot air balloon, and we were going up, and there was a moment that really spoke to me, where we went up through the clouds, and for this moment it was dark, it was cold, it was windy, and it was like a couple of minutes, and the air balloon was shaking, and we had to put our jackets back on, and you can kind of see that's the beginning of the fog. But when we actually were in the clouds, we couldn't see a thing. And then all of a sudden, we broke through and there was this glorious light. And this photo doesn't do it justice, but we were above the clouds and there was this bright, bright blue sky and just beaming sun, and just the warmth filled the balloon and just the light radiated on us. And I couldn't help but think, it was like that's what it was like for Jesus. I know this is very little in comparison, but the cross was like the clouds, where it was dark and there was nothing, and it was cold, and it was we couldn't see a thing. But there was then glory and the presence of the Father, and he just broke through the clouds and he was glorified. And that was the joy set before him, that he would be with his Father. But not only was he going back, he was bringing us back with him. He wasn't going to go alone. He came so that he could bring many. And C.S. Lewis has a beautiful quote, and it says, "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God." The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. When Jesus returned to heaven, he didn't return the same. He returned fully as God, but forever fully man, so that he could be our interceder forever, reconciling man to God and God to man. He set his glory aside in order to take the sins of us upon himself, so that he could bring us with him, and that we could bring, and he could bring us into that glory and beautiful relationship that he had and has with the Father and the Spirit. And so that leads us to our final point. What was the joy set before him? It was completing the Father's will. It was returning to glory. But it was us. We were the joy set before him in bringing us into glory. If we continue on with the prayer that Jesus prayed in John, he goes on to pray that we would be made one with him, just as the Father and he were one. And in verse 22, he says, "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me." Just as he was entering into glory, he was also making a way for us to share that glory with him. In other words, to be raised up and exalted, and to be included in the relationship he had and has with the Father. That, most of all, was the joy that was set before him. It was the prospect of redeeming us through his blood, so that we could be included in the fellowship he enjoys eternally with the Father. The joy in which he hoped was the joy that Hebrews 2:10 says of leading many sons into glory. That we would be adopted as children and be included forever in their family. You can imagine before Jesus came, the Son, the Father and the Spirit all conversing together about bringing many back with him. See, Adam and Eve had that beautiful relationship we know with the Father, that intimate walk with the Father, but sin separated that. But the Father's intent was always to bring us back home. And I think of the prodigal son, where the father sees the son returning and he lifts up his cloth and he begins to run with such joy. We are the sons. We are the one coming back home, and he has made a way, and he clothes us with his cloak, his robe, and he gives us the ring, and he kisses us, and he says, "Welcome home." We are the joy. And so I don't know whether you have ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus became a man so that we could become sons of God. And it says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And so in closing today, we're going to have a time of communion in a moment where we reflect on a song. The worship team's going to come back. But I want to just give you a moment to check where you are at. Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? So he wants to bring many with him. But we have to put our trust in him. We have to say yes to him. We have to receive the gift of eternal life. So let's just take a moment. I know whether you've never given your life to Jesus, or you have, but you've walked away. But with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that is you today, if you want to say, "Yes, I want to be with you with glory one day, Jesus. I want to say yes to following you." I just want you to raise your hand quickly, and I'm just going to pray with you. Thank you. I see that hand. Jesus' desire that he would leave none behind. Right. Well, I'm just going to get us all to pray together. So if you, and for some of you, you may be praying this for the first time, or you may be giving your life back to God again today. But let's all just pray with me. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus, Son of God, who came to die and to pay the punishment for our sins. We believe that, Jesus, you are God, and that you died and rose again so that we may have eternal life. We ask that you forgive me, Jesus, and I put my trust in you and follow you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. There may be others who follow Jesus, who love Jesus, but almost feel like you're stuck in those clouds, like I showed. You're stuck in that fog where it's been hard. And I love, I don't know who gave the sermon, but there's a famous sermon that says it may be Friday, but Sundays are coming. And there's a sense of that. Like, we sometimes get stuck in a hopelessness and stuck where it's hard. But can I encourage you today that Sunday's coming, that there is a beautiful sunrise above, or sun above that cloud. And can I encourage you that those that hope in the Lord will never be disappointed. That you, if you're going through an enduring time, may you have that joy set before you. May you have that sun, that picture of that beautiful sunset before you, that you one day will break through. Could be today, could be tomorrow, but it may be in eternity, but you will break through. So Father, I just want to pray for those today that maybe have lost hope, that are struggling, that have found it hard to keep enduring. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give them the hope of glory, that you would give them that vision of that beautiful sun that is above the clouds, that the clouds may endure for a moment, but that sun will remain forever. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, give them hope, encourage them. Help them to see the joy set before them, that they would be faithful to complete that which you have given them, that they might glorify you on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. We're just going to come to a time of communion. We've got our team just going to sing a song that really tells the story of Jesus' journey. And just at the throughout that song, you may take communion just in your own time, and then I'll close in prayer. And we'll end the service.